journey of adulthood, O Lord. We pray that you help them keep their eyes upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, that you protect them, O Lord, from the evil one, and protect them from each and every temptation. And Lord, when temptation arises, that you would open a door for they could be able to escape. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to hold tightly to the Word of God, and that they, wherever they go, that they would remain the light of the world. I pray, Father, that you remind them often that they do not belong to this world, that they do not live for this world, but they have overcome this world. And whatever they set their hand to do in this life, I know that you will bless them and prosper them. May they never, ever forget the importance of being in church, connected and committed to a local body. May they never neglect their studying and reading of the Bible. And may they never, ever neglect their daily prayer time. And may they never forget that love never fails. Protect them as they go off, some to be soldiers, some to be teachers, whatever they set their hand to do now, Father. We love them, we cherish them, and I thank you, Lord, that I have had the honor of watching nearly all of them grow up since they were little babies. I ask you to bless them now, to keep them in all that they do, in all their ways, that wonderful hedge of protection around them. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. We love you guys. Of course, we probably ought to be praying for the parents, amen. You know, when the kiddos leave home and they go off, there's that empty nest in their hearts and so forth. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll be there in 10 minutes or so. We're doing a series that normally on a Wednesday nights we teach through the Old Testament. September, we'll begin back in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. But we're doing a series, and this is the third in a series entitled The Essentials of the Heart. I pray that you have been here for all of the teachings, and if not, I pray that you will go and pick them up at the bookstore. But tonight is, like I said, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. I'll be there in just a moment. According to the Bible, talking about our heart tonight, the heart is the very center of all the operations of life, our hearts. And everything in life, everything that we do, whether it is good, whether it is bad, whether it is whatever we do, it always begins in our hearts, whether it's fears, lies, goodness, whatever it is, our real person is found there. Remember the scripture that we've been going to every Wednesday night. Let me read it to you from Proverbs 4 in verse 20, saying, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." And he tells us why. "For their life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." And then he tells us to do something. He says to keep. It means to guard. It means to protect above all that we do. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, which means above everything else, protect your heart. Why? For out of it, out of your heart, out of my heart, spring the issues of life. Boy, life is a big word, amen? Birth to death, all that's in between. So we've learned already that the most important thing that we can do as a believer is to protect our heart. And that means the danger is within. It's the things that come out of the heart. We've already learned that defile a person. And Jesus told us, he says in Matthew, he says, "But those things which proceed out of the heart come from the heart and defile a man." Those evil thoughts and murders and schemings and fornications and all the rest of that, lies and so forth. And we also know that as a result of the new birth, talking about our heart tonight, that Jesus now lives there. Amen? The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:6, it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son," where? "Into your hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Listen. Jesus is alive in our hearts. He lives in our hearts. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? And then we learned last time that we were together what the true yoke of Christ really is. When he commanded us in Matthew's gospel, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The yoke of Christ, remember what I said? The yoke of Christ, to be yoked up with the Lord, to come alongside of him, is this. He wants his heart living and beating in you. Amen? That's the true yoke of Christ. It's where his heart is now our heart. And so when we understand that, when we look out now with the heart of Christ and we see the hurting and the lonely and the people that are in trouble in life, we're not there to judge them, beat them up. We're there just like Jesus to help them, to save them, to bring victory into their life. Amen? So that is the yoke that this church has taken up. But listen now, it is only as we follow Jesus that we truly experience the beating heart of Christ. See, taking his yoke, remember, is what activates his heart. And then our hearts will pour forth his life into this world filled with darkness. Jesus told us, he said, you know, if any man desire to come after me, he said, for him to deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Follow him. It didn't say to admire him, which we do admire the Lord. We love the Lord. It said, I want you to follow me. That means it's a decision. You know, there's only two ways in life, two roads a person can go down. No matter what continent they live on, what state they're in, no matter their condition, there are only two roads in life. It says in Matthew 7:13, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And listen now, there are many, he said, that go into that. Any lifestyle will do. Any belief system will work. Just come on in. And then he says, because narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life, which leads to life. That's what we want. And few there be that find it. Now, with all that being said tonight, I want you to look. I hope you're already in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. And look with me now at verse 1. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says this, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, of letters of commendation from you? He says, do we need all that? He says, what he's saying is that, listen, my letter that I have is available for anyone to see at any time. And he tells us what that is. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. It is evident, or clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but how? Watch this now. But by the Spirit of the living God. Where is that happening at? Not on tablets of stone, not under the old covenant, not under the law, but on tablets of flesh. That is of the what? The heart. We're talking about the issues of life that spring from the heart tonight. Now, the Holy Spirit, we know, works in the heart of all believers. Matter of fact, if we went back to chapter 2 here in 2 Corinthians, we'd find out that the Bible tells us that we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Think about that. Now he's saying here that we're God's love letter. We're like a love letter to this world because we have the heart of Christ, because God's written on our hearts. The Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. Look down at verse 11 now about the old covenant that's decreasing in glory and the new covenant, which is ever increasing in glory. For if what is passing away was glorious, meaning the law, the old covenant, what remains is much more. You know what? Go back to verse 8. I skipped it, but I want to read verse 8. Let's just go to verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory is passing away. Look at verse 8. How will the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, be what? Not be more glorious. More glorious. That's the Holy Spirit that's working right now in our hearts, loved one. Look at verse 11. For what if its passing away was glorious? what remains is much more glorious. That's the new covenant, the Holy Spirit working in the heart of the believer. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. In other words, the Old Testament Jews are then and even today, some of them read the word and they do not see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. They do not see him. They don't see the Messiah, if you will. It says, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their what? Heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, when we came to Jesus Christ, with the new birth, when His Spirit of His Son came into our hearts, whereby we started crying out, Abba, Father, that intimate talk with God. It says that veil is taken away in the new birth. Where is it taken away from? It's taken away from the heart of man. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is. I want to stop right there. Where is the Holy Spirit right now? Of course He's here, but He's where? He's in our hearts. Now listen carefully. I'm talking about the essentials of the heart. I'm talking about the issues of the heart. I'm talking about living. I'm talking about let Jesus pour out of you. He says right here, He says, where, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. There is freedom. Now, here it is. Freedom to do what? I hope tonight I'm able to convey what's in my heart. Because every week I'm just simply waiting on the Lord to tell me where to go. I don't have next week down, or I don't have a whole list. I'm just every week, Lord, now where do you want me to go next? Tonight, the Holy Spirit working in us. He's in our hearts. Here's what He wants to do. He wants to take each and every one of us that belong to Him from glory to glory. That's what we're going to find verse 18. Okay, now listen. A lot of us, maybe not all of us, I don't know. I don't mean all of us. And I'm a little, you can tell, a dingy tonight. I had 3 glasses of iced tea. Whew. Man, I'm only a one cupper, okay? I even took one to my office. I'm loaded. What we don't want to do is be stuck in glory. Say that with me. Stuck in glory. We don't want that. Amen? And I'm going to show you why. Now let's look at this. Here's this freedom, the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Look at verse 18. But we all, meaning all, everyone who is in Christ, with unveiled face, unveiled. We're not like Moses. The veil's been taken not only off of our heart, but the veil, he put it on because he'd been in the presence of the Lord. Listen, we're in the presence of the Lord right now. Amen? First of all, he said he'd never leave us, never forsake us. He's with us always, even until the end of the age. He's here right now. He's also living in our hearts. And he says, so all of us with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Jesus, His glory reflecting out of each and every one of our lives. Look what's happening now. The Holy Spirit, look what He's doing. Our being, that's present tense. That means there's a process going on in our lives right now. Our being what? Transformed. We get our word metamorphosis. We're being transformed from the inside to the outside, if you will, into what? The same image. Romans 8:29. We're being conformed into the image of Christ, into the same image. And here it is. From what? From glory to glory. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen very carefully. Where is the Spirit of the Lord working? In our hearts. In our hearts. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Galatians 4:6. He's there right now. The Holy Spirit is working. He loves you. He's in your life. Now listen, the incredible plan of God. It says the same image. That is if you just think about that for a minute, that means the tangible, visible representation, imitation, incarnation, whatever you want to call it, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen, We are in process right now. Does that make sense? We're in process changing into the image of our Savior Jesus. We're partakers of His divine nature. Jesus is alive in our hearts on the inside. And His life, God says, I want manifested on the outside. I look at that and I say, oh Lord, God is saying, I want you to walk like Jesus. I want you to talk like Jesus. I want you to react like Jesus. I want you to think like Jesus because you have His mind. Loved one, chapter 3 says this. Paul said, you are a living epistle. You are a love letter, if you will. We are God's love letter to this world. Do you believe that? You know, there's a lot of mean Christians. God doesn't want any mean Christians. No, you can't go from glory to glory by being a mean Christian. No. Listen, you know, here's the problem. You know, if we're a living epistle, that's like a letter, or we're a book. And our whole life is in a book, if you will, from glory to glory. What page are you on right now? There's a lot of Christians, they're on page 1, saved. That's it. They're not going forward. You know what the great Christian explorer David Livingstone said? He said this, I'm willing to go anywhere, as long as it's forward. How would you like to read the same chapter of a book or the same page of a book the rest of your life? Every morning I get up and I read the same, you know, what kind of life is that? No, listen, we are like a book. And you know what? The Christian life is not boring. The Christian life is exciting. And once you start reading the book, the plan of God that He has for us, you don't want to put the book down. It's like, oh, let me get to the next page, Lord. Let me get to the next glory, Lord. I don't want to be stuck where I am. I want to keep growing because the Christian life is a journey. It says there, from glory to glory, not stuck in one glory. Are you listening to me? Very important. You know, go in your Bibles. Do a study, if you will, of the men and women of God and look at the process of the transformation, how they went from glory to glory as they served and walked with the Lord. You take the call of Abraham. Just let me just read, if you don't mind, just the first 3 verses in the book of Genesis. You know, don't you hate it? You know, all this dust in here from these, you know, that's why these allergies, you know? Man. You would have thought a dust storm was taking place when those drapes came down, you know? Of course, I didn't take them down, but I'm just saying. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Listen, now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land that I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Listen to me. Abraham departed on less than 70 words from God. That's what I call faith. Amen. He says, Abraham, I want you to get away from your country, your family, your father's house, to a land that I'm going to show you. I want you to leave everything behind, and I want to send you at the age of 75 to an uncertain destination that you don't even know where you're going to go to. Now listen, I'm talking about from glory to glory. What would have happened had Abraham not left the Ur of the Chaldees there on the great banks of the river Euphrates? What would have happened? Now listen, here's the deal. He would have missed the process. He would have been stuck in glory. That's one of the problems today in the church. That, see, in other words, they're not moving. People are not moving forward with the Lord. There's so much to be done. See, Abraham, for example, hey, he would have missed the process. In other words, he would have always stayed Abram. He would have never gone from Abram to Abraham. He would have never gone from Abraham to friend of God. Are you following me? Matter of fact, he would have missed more than that. He would have not only missed the process of God, he would have missed the plan of God in his life. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you. And whoever curses you, I'm going to curse. Not only that, and through you, Abram, there on the Ur of the Chaldees, he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Amen? He became the father of the Hebrew race. He became the father of the nation of Israel. Listen to me. Through you, Abraham, the one man on the entire face of this planet, God said to one man, in you, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. We know how, don't we? In other words, from him, the lineage, all the way came the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He would have missed everything, all of that. For the next 25 years, we know the story. Abram remained childless. He had no children. As he journeyed through the land of transformation, he went from glory to glory. Listen to me. When we get on the narrow road is the only road that leads to life. That is the process. The narrow road is the place of transformation. It's the place from glory to glory. It takes us that way in our life. And you know what? Abraham is no different than any other man. He had to depart by faith, and we have to do the exact same thing. It says from glory to glory. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in the life of the believer. Just think about Peter in the New Testament. You remember when his brother brought Peter to see the Lord, and the Lord looked at Peter, and he looked at Peter and said unto him, now you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. In other words, Peter, I'm looking at you, Jesus said. And he said, you're going to be as solid as a rock. Man, listen, did it take him a long time to become solid as a rock? But here's the deal. Had he not there when Andrew brought Peter to Jesus and Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Had Peter said, nah, I don't think I want to follow you. I think that I just want to stay in the fishing business that I'm in. I don't care too much about fishing men out of the sea of sin, which he didn't know what that meant anyway. And the thing is, he would have missed the process. He would have missed the plan of God. Now listen, he would have missed his transformation. He would have missed from glory to glory. Would you want to miss being a water walker? Can you imagine that? You know, sometimes I dream about things like that. You know, just walking, can you imagine? I mean, if all of a sudden I just walked right off this stage and just walked right on air, would that blow you away? Would it blow me away? Listen, how would you like to miss that in your life? In other words, where you walk on the words of God. Jesus said, come. And he just went C-O-M and right E, right out there on the water. He would have missed the process. He would have missed going from glory to glory. See, in other words, he went from the water walker to walking away from God, which was part of the process. Peter went from saying, I'll die for you, Lord. I don't know about these old boys. I don't know about the rest of these disciples, but Lord, I'll die from you. And he went from to die for you to denying him, didn't he? That's part of the process. That's part of the glory, getting to glory in your life. Listen, he went from, remember what Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He says, oh yes. Peter, then you feed my sheep, to Peter, the pillar of the church, the apostle. Think about that. He went all the way to preach the first gospel message in the book of Acts, where 3,000 people came to the Lord, to walking out there and finally in his life dying for Jesus Christ. He went from glory to glory to glory to glory. He never got stuck in part of the glory. Are you following me? He didn't get stuck there. He kept going on no matter what happened in his life. He kept moving forward. And that's what all of us, each of us, must do. How about Paul, the apostle? Someone called Paul the most, I think it was A.W. Tozer. He said Paul was the most successful Christian that ever lived. He was the greatest missionary that ever lived. He wrote, I believe, 13 at least, or I consider 14 books of the New Testament. He stood before kings. He started out as Saul in Acts chapter 8. Remember what he did? He made havoc of the church. The word havoc there, that verb made havoc in the Greek means to tear people apart like a wild animal. He was like a wild animal in the church. He was sending people. He entered houses and drug them off and he committed them to prison. He made people blaspheme the name of the Lord. And then one day on the road to Damascus, you know the story, the process began. That was when Paul entered into glory, from glory to glory, when the Lord appeared to him. And when he got up, he was blind, and Paul said, what must I do, Lord? What do you want me to do? And you know, after he received his sight again and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and water baptized and all of that, the first thing Paul did, it says in the book of Acts in chapter 9, he immediately preached Christ. You see, from glory to glory. That's why Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ. Matter of fact, if I quoted the verse above that, Philippians 1:20, remember what he said? He said, I want Christ magnified in my body, whether by life or death. Amen? Magnified. I want the image of Jesus. I'm being transformed from glory to glory. And the way it happens is by the Holy Spirit who is working in our hearts. I want to ask you a question. I'm doing this to challenge you. Not because I don't love you. I'm asking you a question. You know what's interesting? I told my wife this morning, I said, it's interesting. I'm teaching on the essentials of the heart. And I just happened to turn on the radio and what's his name? Who's on KDKR2. I forget his name now. He's teaching about the heart. And then Greg Laurie, our dear brother Greg at Calvary Chapel, you know, Harvest Crusades and so forth, he started this morning, or Monday morning, or whatever it was, on a brand new series called The Essentials. And I'm going, man, Lord, we're just all, the unity of the Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, Erwin Lutzer, that's who was teaching that on the heart. I was listening to him the other day. This wonderful series. And so I start thinking about this, you know, the essentials of the heart. I'm going to ask you a question. I know that you love the Lord and I love the Lord. I'm talking about all of us from the pulpit on down tonight. I'm talking to you that are listening live right now as well. Listen, are you stuck in the new birth? A lot of Christians just, man, I'm saved. And they go through this period of time and they're just, oh, it's great. But they're stuck right there. They're stuck in glory. And a question is, why are they stuck there? Or they may say, I was saved and I'm on fire, but then all of a sudden I had the upper room experience. I had the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, but then that was it. They're just stuck right there. Why? Or maybe, you know, you're up in years like me or a little older or whatever. And you're stuck in that age. Well, I'm old. I've done my part and so forth. You know, there's nothing left for me to do. Why? Why would you say that, and why do you do that or believe that? Or you may say, I'm just stuck in the pew, stuck in religion, or I'm retreating to a past glory. Now listen, if the process of transformation has waned or if it has stopped, number one, maybe we're no longer following the Lord on the narrow road. We're not following Him. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being, something is happening. We're transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord, the power of another working in our hearts. Listen, why would anybody be stuck in glory? Just one, not going from glory to glory. Why would that be happening? I know the answer. The heart. It's a heart issue. There's only one answer, and it is that we are resisting the leading of the Holy Spirit who takes us from glory to glory, producing in us the same image. Now, let me say this the way I wrote it down. Listen very carefully. What we do in our present glory, in other words, we're going from glory to glory. We're being transformed. We're looking more like Jesus, Christ-likeness every day, every year. Looking more like their Lord, acting more like Jesus. Let me read this again. What we do in our present glory is either preventing us from entering or preparing us to enter the next glory. Does that make sense? Boy, that's so important. You remember what it says in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 30? It says, and do not grieve, don't resist, don't make sad, don't vex. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed. That speaks of ownership. Sealed until the day of redemption. Listen, if we are preventing in any way the Holy Spirit from working in us, may I say that's not the image of Jesus. Amen? And not only that, we're simply going to be stuck in the stage of the glory that we're in. And what we're doing is literally we, our own hearts, are preventing transformation, which might explain the lack of Jesus's true heart, his lowly heart, being manifested in the corporate body of Christ today. I think about that and I say, oh Lord, you know something? The Holy Spirit's greatest desire is not only to light up every page of this Bible in your hearts. The Holy Spirit's greatest desire is to take you from glory to glory to glory. And what is he doing? He is creating the same image of Christ in you. Amen? See, we can prevent that. Listen, let me just turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And listen to the things here that prevent us, that grieves the Spirit of God, that prevents us from moving forward. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says about us not grieving the Spirit of God and so forth. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Get that stuff out of your life. Why? Because it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. He doesn't depart from us. But boy, we sure feel like it. We say, Lord, where are you? He says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God. Be imitators of Jesus as dear children and walk in love. How? As Christ also loved us and given himself for us. Listen, loved one, here's the deal. We're being transformed and we can prevent some of that transformation, can't we? Let me ask you a question. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have disobeyed the Holy Spirit of God? How many of you have said, the Lord, you know the Lord spoke to you? I'll give you a perfect example. Back years ago, an American Airlines terminal, the whole place was packed. And there was only a few seats left, and here's all the people, they're sitting just like you are, and there was a row of seats here. So when I sat down, I was looking at everybody. Just looking at them. And I'm going, I was so uncomfortable. You know, so I just immediately picked up a magazine and I felt like the Lord said, stand up and tell them that Jesus Christ loves him. I grabbed a hold of the bottom of that chair. No, I'm being honest with you. You know, I was going, I don't hear anything. You know, come out. No, I'm just, you know what I mean. Listen. Don't tell me that you've never disobeyed the Lord. Give this. Okay, Lord. Well, let me think about it. Let me really, that was the pizza speaking. That wasn't God. Are you following me? Well, when we disobey the Lord and we continue to do it, we're stuck. We're stuck right here. And God said, I'm trying the Holy Spirit. I want to get you over here, but you won't come over there. You're preventing it. Your heart is preventing it. Your heart is supposed to be Jesus's heart. Supposed to be the mind of Christ now. He says, no, you're stopping that. Turn in your Bibles. If you did go to Ephesians, just turn over to Philippians with me. And look at chapter 2. I'm talking about being stuck in glory, not going from glory to glory. It's an issue of the heart. Look at verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, look what Paul tells the church at Philippi to do. Work out your own salvation. Now listen, he didn't say work for it. Salvation is a free gift. Amen? He says, now that you're saved, in other words, not justification. You're already justified, just as if you had never sinned. That's our position in Christ. We have his spotless, perfect record. That's why we're going to celebrate communion tonight and know those. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. But listen now. He says, work out, not work for, your own salvation, not justification, but something else. Sanctification. Work out the process, the ongoing process of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to conform us into the image of Christ. So he says, work out your own salvation, and he tells us how, with fear and trembling. That word work out there means in the Greek literally to bring to completion or full completion. It's like working out a math problem, and you bring it to the final conclusion, if you will. You carry it out. So when Paul penned this, this word here, work out, was used for working in a mine, which means literally to get all of the valuable treasure or ore, whatever, out of it. But it was also used as working in a field to get all the harvest, every bit of the harvest out as possible. This means that we have incredible potential, loved one, because we have not arrived at our full harvest, have we? There's so much more. There's so much more changing that needs to take place in all of our lives. So listen now, work out is our part. That's human responsibility. Working out is something that we do. And how do we do it? We do it with fear and trembling. Why? Look at verse 13. For it is what? Who? God. It is God who constantly, it is God who works. Where? In you. Why? Both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The word work there is different from the word work out, okay? This word means that God, his energy, God energizes us. How does God energize us? With the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is working in you, into our hearts, conforming us into the same image of Jesus. Listen, the reason that we love, that we're capable of loving others, is because we have his love. Amen? Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us, working in our hearts. Now listen to me. The reason you can love others is because Christ's love is in your heart. Amen? The reason that you don't love others when you choose not to is because of your heart. Not because, oh, he's just bad. No, it's our heart. For out of the heart proceed the issues of life. The reason that we can pray is because we have the Holy Spirit in us who helps us to pray because we know not how to pray. He helps us with our weaknesses to pray. The reason that we choose not to pray at times is a matter of our hearts. It's not a matter of having the ability. We have the ability. It's a heart decision. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him, meaning God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power, the Holy Spirit's power that works in us to transform us into the same image of Christ. Now listen to me. I'm going to ask you a question. I ask myself this question as well. Why would any believer do something to prevent ourselves from this transformation? Believers get in trouble all the time. They go off and start living for the world. Then they get in all kinds of trouble. And they, oh, God, save me. He says, I've already saved you. Now get back here. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, why would we ever want to prevent this transformation? Why would we ever say, Lord, you know, I'm settled with where I'm at. I'm happy. No. If you're happy, it's not the Holy Spirit that's made you happy. Okay? No, we go from glory to glory to glory, from glory all the way on down the lane. Why is it so many today fall short of this glorious truth that I just read in verse 13, 12 and 13? They're stuck in glory. Why? Look at verse 14. It tells us the reason. Do all things without complaining. That word means murmuring. And disputing. That word means arguing. I'm going to ask you a question. Where does murmuring and arguing come from? Where? The heart. Out of the heart, Jesus said. All these things, they come out of the heart. Murmuring and all the rest of it, complaining and so forth. That's why it's a command here. He says, do all things is a command. So he says, no, we don't want that junk coming out of our hearts. Listen, and here's the problem here. I'm talking about being stuck in glory, not going forward. This arguing here is not actually with one another. Did you see that? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and do his pleasure and so forth. And then he says, and do all things without murmuring or complaining and arguing. Who would we be arguing against? Who would we be murmuring against? God. In other words, I don't like what's going on. I don't like this going from this glory to glory. It's kind of slowing me down in my life. This is too much changing and so forth. But listen, we're murmuring against God when we do that. When what we do is that if we complain and murmur, oh Lord, why is this, you know, it's just too much. He says, listen, I'm going to mold you. I'm going to make you. You've got to look like Jesus. You belong to me. Being confident of this one thing that he who began a good work in you will complete it. Amen. He says, no, you're going to look like my son. You're going to act like my son, or you don't belong to me. Come on, let's be honest tonight. Let's not be religious. You know, we're living in a state and a nation that has so watered down the word of God that it's become just a bunch of sissies, huh? We're not a bunch of sissy Christians. No, listen, glory to glory. I don't want to get stuck. No, well, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to murmur against you. And here's why. When we start arguing with God, when we start murmuring against God, here's what happens. The process stops. It just comes to an end. It stops the transformation from glory to glory. Beware of arguing with God and murmuring about what God's doing in your life. Listen, we don't want to be like the children of Israel. Listen to what happened to them in Psalm 106:24. It says they despised the pleasant land, the promised land that God wanted to give them. Oh, we don't like it. We don't have anything to do with it. They did not believe God's word, but here it is, but complained. They complained, they murmured, they argued, they complained in their tents. And they did not heed the voice of the Lord. They didn't follow God. Therefore, God raised up his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. So what did they do? They argued with God. They complained against God. And for 40 years, they dropped like flies in the wilderness. God was working, but they would not follow. Listen, you stop progress into Christ's likeness if I murmur and argue to God and murmur against what he's doing in my life. Don't complain. God says, I'm working. Let me say what wrote earlier, and I said it, I want to say it again. What we do in our present glory is either preventing us from entering or preparing us to enter the next glory. Does that make sense tonight? Look at verse 14 again. Do all things without complaining, without murmuring, without arguing with God. Why? That you may become, that process from glory to glory, that you may become blameless. Nobody can point a finger at you. And harmless, innocent, pure, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked, that word literally means a diseased and perverse, warped generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Loved one, listen, we are being observed by this world that we live in. We are the only Jesus this world will ever see. We have the heart of Christ. We've taken his yoke. This is the only heart that they're ever going to see in the church, however we want to manifest it. But it should be the lowly heart of Christ. You know, if they're never going to see the love of God unless we offer them the love that God has poured into us. Amen? You see, they're watching us. They're watching you in the workplace, in college, or wherever you are. We're being watched all the time by the world. Are we really real or not? In other words, listen, we're the only generation, this generation, the only people they're going to see, if they're going to see Jesus, has to be the church. Like the Greeks who came to Philip and said, sir, I wish to see Jesus. Either we're being transformed from glory to glory or we're stuck. We're stuck in some stage. We may be halfway down the road or whatnot, but we get stuck and we just stay there. And it is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. It says from glory to glory. And then finally, our life becomes a mirror, and we look in the mirror, and we don't see who we really are anymore. We just see Jesus. We become so detoxed from this world that we just think like Jesus because we've been renewing our minds to the Word of God instead of renewing our minds to the TV or the internet or whatever and spending hours and hours there. We spend time alone with the Lord and we become God's love letter to this lost, stinking world that we live in. You know, listen, glory to glory means there are things waiting for you. Your calling is not finished yet. It means that there are unwritten pages that are just waiting to happen. It means this. Glory to glory means that there are new adventures as you follow Jesus waiting just for you. Where we totally, like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live, he said, is Christ. That's an incredible scripture, Philippians 1:21. He said, Paul, it's like Paul saying, if I stand in the mirror, you're just going to see Jesus. When I speak, you're just going to hear Jesus. When I weep, you're going to hear Jesus weep. When I pray, you're going to hear the heartbeat of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I look at it and say, oh, Lord. And listen to me now. Every trial that you're going through, if you belong to the Lord, every heartache, every victory, every sacrifice is part of the process that prepares you and prepares me for the next stage of glory. It's never, the hurt that we go through sometimes is almost unbearable, but when we get through it, we've grown, haven't we? We've grown into Christ-likeness. We've persevered when people are beating you down in the workplace and cussing you out or whatever they're saying about you and mocking you, making fun of you, and you stand your ground and you said, I'm going to walk in love because love never fails. I'm going to do good to them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to bless those who curse me. When you do what Jesus said, then you start acting like him. Amen? And then the heart of Christ is overflowing to others and they say, who are you? And say, I don't know. I know what I used to be, but I'm a new creation now. I've changed. Jesus lives in my heart. I've taken up his yoke. I have the heart of Christ. For out of it become the issues of his life, no longer the issues of my life. Not what I want, but it's what he wants. It's not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Then all of a sudden, this whole church, all of us, we're being transformed and we're going to say, nothing's going to rob me of the next stage of glory. I'm not going to get stuck right here. I'm going on and on and on and on. What we do in the present glory, in our present glory, is either preventing us from entering or preparing us to enter into the next stage of glory. To be stuck in one glory is an issue of our hearts. And as we now prepare for communion, to pass out communion, gentlemen, and our hearts are being prepared, and as I look out upon you, and may I say, if we have sinned by word, by deed, by thought, by action, if we have grieved, quenched, or vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, then let's repent of it. Amen? Repent of that right now. And listen to me. All of us, boy, listen, I know I have things in my heart that I need to say, Lord, I don't want them there. Amen. I just say, no, I don't want that. I want to go on. I want to move to the next stage. All of us, there are things that are there. And as we prepare our hearts tonight, as we look inwardly, the Bible is so clear. The communion, the Lord's table. Listen, the value of this experience, of us celebrating the Lord's table, the way we experience it is based upon the condition of our hearts. That's why it tells us to look inside and judge ourselves. It tells us, it says, you know what? If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Look in there. Are you stuck in glory someplace? Are you've been going along and all of a sudden something got you off course? Jesus said, tonight's communion. Tonight we're going to do in remembrance of him. Amen. Not just how he died for us, but why he died for us. We need to come tonight to the throne of grace. Listen, like it says in the book of Hebrews. Let me just read to you. It says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Talking about the Old Testament priesthood. For by one offering, it says, but this man, after he had offered just one sacrifice, the Old Testament priest over and over for 2,000, 3,000 years, could never take away sin. But this man, our Lord, our Savior, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, listen to what Jesus did. He sat down at the right hand of God. He died. He took our sins on the cross. Amen. And from that time, he's waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. Listen carefully. By one offering, he has perfected forever. Speaking of us, perfected forever. Those who are being sanctified. You know what that is? Sanctification. The work of the Holy Spirit. Where? In our hearts. The process of sanctification, not justification. The moment you come to Christ, you're justified. Now the process begins to turn us all into Jesus or the image of Jesus. Amen? But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, for after he had said, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts, into their minds, their sins I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Jesus has paid it all. Amen? Therefore, listen. Therefore, brethren, sons, daughters, the family of God, having boldness, that confidence, to enter the holiness, how? The Holy of Holies. In heaven, how? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. Here it is. Let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. Lord, we're coming to you tonight. We've taken your yoke, Lord. We've taken your lowly heart and we possess it. It belongs to us now. The Holy Spirit of God, his love, his joy, all of it is working in our hearts because we belong to him. Amen? He says, so draw near. Would you draw near with me tonight to the Lord? Draw near with a true heart. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like the Holy Spirit who is here in our hearts, who is here alongside of us. Oh Lord, who's here? Jesus told us that he is the bread of life. The bread of life, the true bread, the living bread that came down from heaven. It says on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He says, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, Jesus took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And this, as you often do and you drink, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we do something. We proclaim the Lord's death, what it's all about, why he died, until he comes. That means he's coming, amen? He's coming for us. I tell you tonight, if you're stuck in glory in one place, saved but just stuck right there, why don't you just tell the Lord,
to pry you out of that. Just tell the Lord that you truly want to go from glory to glory. And that you're going to, and you'll say, Lord, it may be uncomfortable. You may send me here, you may send me there, but you'll never send me there alone, for you'll always be with me. And that narrow road where life, the true life exists, that's where we find the adventure. We find miracles. Our heart is satisfied. Our conscience is at rest. And our hearts are overflowing with the love of Jesus. And then in the midst of that narrow road is where lives are being changed by you, because they see Jesus in you. There's nothing greater than that. So, Father, tonight what we do in remembrance of you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for taking our sin, our shame, our guilt, our punishment. Thank you for taking our place. Let us partake of the bread in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. And of his own volition, he willingly died and took our place on the cross. I thank you, Lord, that you've saved us tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we know that our heart, we want to go forward from glory to glory. And we do so by the power of another and by the precious blood of Jesus. We love you, we praise you now. And what we do in remembrance of you and all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Lord, we just love you tonight. We praise you tonight. Thank you for using this church. Lord, thank you. I thank you for every person, every family, every person at Calvary. I thank you for them. I thank you that they are my brothers and my sisters. And I thank you again, Lord. We thank you again for those young men and women, some going off to be soldiers, some nurses and teachers and all the other things that they're doing. Keep them, Father. Bless their parents and bless us tonight. We love you and praise you now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we?